John chapter 19. And I've been reading in this chapter and studying some and trying to get ready. And I just didn't know what the Lord wanted for tonight exactly till about, I guess, 4:30 today. And the Lord, I'm telling you, he just dumped it on me in a hurry. And I want to share some things with you tonight. Let's look, starting in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him." And the soldiers, how many of you know what the scourging entailed? How many know, have an idea what that entailed? I'll talk more about it later. But you read a verse like that, and really, if that's not studied out, you really have no idea what was said in just those few words. Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. I was talking to Brother Brian a while ago, and he had two tubes on one side between his ribs and one tube on the other side between his ribs after the surgery on his lungs. And he was in excruciating pain. And when they got the one out, well, that really helped that side and got the other side out, and it really helped. But he told me a while ago, he said, it's still just sore. It's real sore. While we were talking on the phone, I said, "Brother Brian, think about that scourging. They took that whip, and it had pieces of bone, and it had pieces sometimes of metal or broken pottery in the end of it. And that Roman soldier would come down across a man's back, and when he pulled it back, they said the first time, I was studying after John Phillips a couple days ago, and John Phillips said it wasn't unusual for the first lick to knock the breath out of a man. If you've ever just been hit, and I guess it's the shock of it hitting your body. And he said the first lick would normally knock the breath literally out of a man, and he said then the licks that followed, there'd be pieces of flesh coming out, and many times the organs were exposed. And sometimes they didn't mean to do this, especially when someone was to be crucified, but sometimes they would beat the man so that he would die at the scourging post. In other words, they didn't even get to crucify him. And it was just it's a horrific scene. No wonder the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 52, I believe it was the last verse in chapter 52, before you start into 53, his visage was so marred, more than the form of any man. I literally believe that Jesus looked like a piece of meat hanging on a pole, and that it was hard to even recognize him as a man hanging there. But the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and they put him a purple robe. Now, you know why they did that, don't you? Because he claimed to be the king of the Jews. And they said, well, a king needs a royal robe, and a king needs a crown. Of course, this is being done that the scripture might be fulfilled. The Bible said, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and now they smite him, or they smote him with their hands. In another place, you'll find that they blindfolded him here. And when they were with the blindfold on, they were just hitting him with their hands, possibly even with their fist, and saying, "Prophesy, who hit you?" It's amazing to me, but the truth of the matter is that before Jesus ever spoke the world into existence, he knew about Judas, the one that would betray him with a kiss, and he knew about the hands that would beat him in the face, and he knew about the gambling for his garment. The Bible said in verse 4, "Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him," here's where we're going to get the message tonight, "Behold the man. God wants us to just stop tonight and look at this man called Jesus. The Bible said, when the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him." Here it comes again. I mentioned this Sunday, "for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. You remember Pilate's wife had a dream. Went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee?" And Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Something I learned this time that I never thought about. Who's that talking about in that verse right there? "He that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Does anybody know who that's talking about? Who? Holler at me so I can hear you. I only got one in. Judas. Oh, that's what I thought. And it's still possible. But when I studied, Caiaphas, the chief priest of the Jews, Jesus is saying, he's the one. You understand what I mean? So it's Judas did betray him, but Caiaphas is the one that delivered Jesus unto Pilate. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that exactly. Didn't pick up on that. And not that it's real important, but Jesus knew exactly who he was talking about here. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Let's pray just a moment. We'll get right in here. I want to behold the man. I want to give you three things the Lord spoke to my heart about in this text tonight concerning Jesus, the man. Father, help us tonight to glean something from the Bible that would just challenge our hearts, convict our hearts, our Lord, stir our hearts, Lord, that we might never, ever forget what it cost our Lord that we could have this wonderful salvation that you provided for us. Have a home in heaven when we leave this world. I pray, dear Father, tonight that you would clothe us in our calling. Help us, Lord, tonight to see something that would just be a blessing. I pray, Lord, that you would stir the saints of God. I pray, Lord, you'd stir the sinner tonight, that one that needs to be saved. Stir that heart, Lord. God will give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. First of all, I want to say tonight, I'm going to say three things tonight about Jesus, the man. I'm going to go ahead and give them to you, and then we're going to back up and look at them. First of all, in the text, Jesus is a good man. How many believes that tonight? Did you know that most of the world believes that? Most of even the religious world will acknowledge that Jesus was a good man, that he was a prophet. But where you run into troubles, the second thing I'm going to look at tonight, Jesus is the God-man. He's not just a good man, but he's the God-man. Now, I didn't say a God-man. He's the God-man, the Lord Jesus. He's the Son of God. And then thirdly tonight, I'm going to show you in the chapter, in these verses, just in these first few verses, that Jesus is a gracious man. And I believe if we patterned our life after the Lord Jesus, that we should want to be a good man, and we should want to be a gracious man, because the God-man gave his life for us. But not only that, he gave his life to us. When he saved us, we have life in the Lord Jesus, and we have it more abundantly. The reason in the text tonight that I say Jesus is a good man is because in verse number 4, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. In verse number 6, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And the Word of God said that, I believe it was over in the book of Hebrews, that the Lord was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Hollywood years ago, they depicted a... I've never watched the movie. I can keep up with stuff through reading an article or something like that. But Hollywood has depicted Jesus as having ungodly thoughts or lustful thoughts or things like that. That's a lie. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Well, you say, preacher, if he was never tempted to commit adultery or fornication, or if he was never tempted to get drunk or to steal, then how was he tempted in all points like as we are? The devil, remember, took him out in the wilderness. And the temptations, I'm not going to study that tonight, that took too long, but they fell under three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And each time Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he came out of that situation just like he went in. The Bible said the Spirit of God in that last verse was on him just like it was in the beginning. So Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I'll give you a couple of things tonight and we'll move on. He's a good man. His goodness is seen in how that he suffered. The Word of God said here, talking about the scourging and talking about the plaiting of the crown of thorns and talking about the robe and talking about them smiting him with their hands. But you don't find where Jesus said a word. The Bible said he's led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So the Son of God tonight, Jesus, is a good man, and it's reflected in how that he suffered. What was it said over in Isaiah 53? I'd have to get started. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. The Bible said he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But the Bible says, surely he hath borne our sorrows, carried our grief, borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. That always blows me away right there. Smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so tonight, I believe you can see Jesus is a good man in how that he suffered. But not only that tonight, and I could go on, and we're going to be going to Calvary at some point in the book of John. This is written that you might believe, the Bible said. But not only that, his goodness is seen in how that he suffered, but his goodness is seen in how that he served. Jesus was a servant. Listen to what the book of Acts said. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How many believes Jesus didn't come down here to be ministered unto? That means to be served, but he came to serve. And I believe that. The Bible said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible said in Philippians 2:7, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus asked in Luke 22:27, he said, whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? He said, but I am among you as he that serveth. I believe to be like Christ is to be a servant. Amen. And I believe that's what the Lord desires of you and I. So I'm not spending a lot of time there. I do want to move on to the second thing. This is the main thrust of the message tonight. But Jesus is a good man. He's here before Pilate. He's headed to Calvary because he loves you and he loves me. And I tell you, these men may not have known it this day, but he loved them just as much as he loves us. He loved them, amen. And he loved his own as well. Now, the Bible said in verse number 7, we're looking now at Jesus as the God-man. The Jews answered him, said, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because, watch this now, he made himself the Son of God. Now, wait a minute. You can get people in the world to admit very quickly that he was a prophet. You can get people in the world to admit very, even in other religions, you can get people, you know, that worship a totally different way, a different book. You understand what I mean? You can get them to admit that Jesus, I'll just say it like the Jehovah's Witness will admit that Jesus is a good man. But I'll tell you what, they'll choke to death on the statement that Jesus is the God-man. Muslims will admit that Jesus is a good man. They'll say, just like Muhammad was. But they choke to death on the statement that Jesus is the God-man. I want to tell you something tonight. Watch this. The Jesus of the Bible is just as much God as God the Father is, and just as much God as God the Holy Ghost is. And beloved, that is the Jesus that died on the cross the Bible's talking about tonight. Now listen, if I were to ask you tonight, how many believes that tonight? Amen. If I'd ask you tonight, take your Bible and show me. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Not just believing it because my mom taught me or my dad taught me or my preacher taught me or that's what I've believed all my life. But I believe, beloved, we ought to know why we believe that tonight. And the Bible backs it up. Well, you can start with something just real easy, like John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Now that Word is a capital W because it's a living Word. It's a person. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, well, preacher, no problem. I can believe the Bible's of God, and the Bible is God. It's not talking about the Bible. Go to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the living Word of God. Now, we're going to look at some scripture tonight. John chapter 10 and verse number 30. The Bible said, I and my Father are one. There's a lot going on tonight in the scripture, and I want to share with you tonight some of the things that prove that Jesus is not just a good man, but Jesus is the God-man. Let's start with Matthew. You don't have to look at these if you want to just make a reference and go back and look at them after a while, because I got way too much ground to cover for you to write everything down. If you just want to make a reference, you can look at some of the names of our Lord. In Matthew 22, the Bible said, what think ye of Christ? 22:42. Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? That's with a capital L. Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, he said, how is he his son? In other words, Jesus is saying, I was here before David got here. You remember in another text, I'll get to it after a while, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Now they knew exactly what he was talking about there. That I am rang a bell for the Jews. Amen. And God said to Moses, said, who shall I say sent me? He said, just tell them, I am. Amen. I love the Bible. The Bible said, Paul said over there in one place, said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I went down to Knoxville one time to preach in a meeting. And I gave my testimony that night. I think, Miss Eva, there were 9 people saved in that meeting that night. And I titled my testimony this. I was kind of preaching it, my testimony, and sharing the Word of God along the way. I titled it, by the grace of I am what I am. Amen. You can say, God is I am. Now watch this tonight. In Psalm 110, he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. Who's he talking about? None other than the Lord Jesus. You remember when Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. You remember that? How many believes that? And Thomas said, I ain't going to believe till I put my hand in his side and put my fingers in the prints of the nails. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But when Jesus came in that room, you remember Thomas cried out. How many remembers what he said? My Lord and my God. That's exactly what he said. Amen. My Lord and my God. Isaiah 9 and 6. We're talking about the deity of Christ. Talking about just some of his names right now. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. You see, the son couldn't be born. I'm going to show you after a while. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. Amen. The child had to be born. The child Jesus was born, but the son always has been because God always has been. He doesn't have a beginning. And beloved, thank God he doesn't have an end. The devil thought he ended him at Calvary, but he got fooled, didn't he? Amen. The Bible said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. What's this? The Mighty God. That's exactly right. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Mighty God. According to his own words, Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 11 through 14, he's the shepherd. In Psalm 23, he's the good shepherd. In Psalm 80 and verse number 1, he's also mentioned. Excuse me. God is the rock over there in the book of Deuteronomy. Yet in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said that rock in the wilderness followed them, and that rock was Christ. God is light in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, in chapter number 27, and the book of Micah. And then Jesus is light in the book of John, in chapter number 1, and verse number 4 through 9, and then also in John chapter number 8, and verse number 12. The Bible said in Isaiah 44 and 6, God said, I'm the first, I'm the last. And besides me, there is no God. What Jesus say in Revelation 1:17, fear not, I'm the first and I'm the last. You see, a lot of people say, well, they're just a spitting image. It's like a father and a son. They're just, honey, it goes deeper than that. I'm telling you that right now. Jesus is Lord. Amen. He's Lord of all. The Scripture's clear, beloved, that he is. And then Jesus, he claimed to be equal with God. And that's why they hated him. That they hated him because he claimed to be the Son of God. And they understood what that claim meant. Jesus said, go therefore and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get some things tonight. This will be a blessing to you. If Jesus is not God, then why would he include himself in the Trinity? That's right. He didn't say to baptize in the name of Jesus only. He said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. John chapter 10 and verse number 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus said in John 14, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Ain't that a blessing tonight? Amen. I'm glad I know that tonight. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, there it is again, and made him in the likeness of men, and being found fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Jesus, in the word of God, is God and equal with God. Jesus is everywhere. There's a big word for that, omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. Listen to some of the, how many believes that only God could be everywhere? Amen? And the Bible said here, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Ain't it good the Lord can be with us tonight here at Bible Way and be with the folks over at Good Shepherd tonight and be with the folks, beloved, on down the road at Tabernacle, wherever people are meeting together in the name of Christ and worshiping him, that he can meet with them. Ain't that good? Amen. And God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, lo, I'm with you always.
even to the end of the world. And then he's all powerful. The big word for that is omnipotent. That means he has all power, and only God could be able to say, beloved, that he has all power. The Bible said in Revelation 19:6 that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And then again in Timothy, the Bible said, the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe tonight that the Bible is letting us know very, very plainly that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of the living God, equal with God. The Jews hated him for that. They didn't understand that. They didn't believe that. But John said, these things are written that you might believe. I'll give you this tonight. There's a word for all-knowing. The word is omniscient. Think about some of these examples tonight. I looked at some of these and it blessed my heart. How many believes that Jesus knew and foretold exactly where and how that he was going to die? What he's going through right here, Jesus said, listen, I have the power to lay my life down. I'm going to get to that after a while. And I have the power to take it up again. Amen. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This said he, signifying what death he would die. He was talking about Calvary. He said, they're going to lift me up. And he said, I'm going to draw all men. All men are not going to come to him, but all men are going to be drawn to him. The Bible said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Just can't get away from him. He's everywhere, and he knows everything. You say, preacher, what's some examples of that? Well, the first one I really loved. I just thought about when he met that woman down there at the well. Ain't you glad? Listen, how many remembers when you met him? Do you remember how much he knew about you? That's where the conviction set in, ain't it? Amen. And then he convinced you not only that he knew everything about you, but he loved you. Ain't that a blessing tonight? That's a blessing to me. He knew that woman, knew about her past, and yet he loved her. And she trusted Christ. Let me say this. Remember when they needed some tax money? Jesus knew where the fish was that had it in his mouth. How many believe that tonight? Remember when they fished? Remember when Peter fished all night? Couldn't catch anything? And Jesus said, throw your net on that. Jesus knew where the fish were. Help me tonight, amen? He knows everything tonight. That's what the Bible said. And you would just say, well, only God knows everything. Well, Jesus is God. Remember when he knew about Nathanael? When he was under the tree? Remember when he met Nathanael? And he told him about where he was. Let me just say this tonight. He knows you. He knows me. And the miracle is he knows us, and yet he loves us. Amen. That's a blessing to me tonight. Jesus knows everything. Jesus is the creator. You see, if Jesus is not God, listen to me carefully, then Jesus is a created being. This Bible that I have in front of me does nowhere teach that Jesus is a created being. It teaches that Jesus is the creator. I'll see if I can get a couple verses tonight, if the Lord will help me to bring them back. In John 1, I quoted the first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now listen to the next verse. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Aren't you glad, thank God, that Jesus... Well, you say, preacher, what about Genesis? Well, what about it? Who was God talking to when he said, let us make man in our own image? You say, preacher, we like God. Well, we're a triune being. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? How many men are you looking at tonight? How many are you looking at? If you look at me, how many men are you looking at? Don't you say 1.5, Brother Wayne. Amen. Amen. How many are you looking at? You're looking at one. But I'm a triune being. I'm made up of body, soul, and spirit. I'm created in the image of God. I'm not created in the image of an ape. I've acted like one sometimes, but that's not what I am. Amen. I'm one of God's youngins. Amen. Made in the image of God. The Bible said over there in John, it tells us that Jesus is the creator. And now listen to Colossians. In chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, by him were all things created. How many believes that tonight? Watch this down. Hebrews 1:1. I love this. Miss Eve, I can't read this verse without thinking about Brother James Jones in that Rock of Ages conference. Brother Ralph, you ought to heard him. We've had Brother James here. Do y'all remember him? An older gentleman, a very wise man. Man, he's knowledgeable in the scripture. He preached 3 days in a row on two words, by himself. Listen for that phrase in Hebrews chapter 1. God, in verse number 3, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Amen. Jesus is the Creator, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I'm glad, thank the Lord, tonight that the Jesus of the Bible, beloved, is the Creator that you and I have tonight and that we serve. Jesus had power, beloved, over his own life. He had power over death. You remember in John chapter 10, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay my life down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Power over life. Power over death. He even gave up the ghost, the Bible said, when he died on Calvary's cross and dismissed his spirit into the hands of his Father. According to Revelation 1:18, Jesus said he has the keys of hell and of death. I'll tell you something tonight, beloved. I'd hate to be the devil. I'd hate to have a business and not even have the keys to my own business. Amen. But Jesus took them away from him, and he has the keys. Muhammad, he couldn't pay for our sin, but Jesus did. He was God. Amen. Muhammad couldn't do it because he was not God. Buddha couldn't pay for your sin or my sin. He was not God, and you cannot pay for your sin, and I cannot pay for my sin, because you're not God and I'm not God. But thank God Jesus paid the debt on Calvary's cross. He paid the debt for me. The old preacher, Brother Malin White, he's in heaven now. He gave me a plaque years ago, and it was a simple little plaque, but on the words I'll never forget, Jesus paid a debt he did not owe, because I had a debt I could not pay. Beloved, only one could pay the sin debt, and that was God. And the Lord Jesus paid that. He was manifest, beloved, for us and gave his life for us. I want to give you something tonight that I pray will be a blessing. Turn with me to the book of Timothy. I want to read you a verse tonight that'll just sum it up. And then we'll look at one more little thought tonight, and then we'll have our business meeting. 1 Timothy tonight, chapter number 3, I believe. You have John 3:16, and then this is a good way to remember this one, 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, Timothy, or Paul, is writing to Timothy. He's writing to the young preacher, and I think this is, it's important. I read this today, maybe yesterday. I was reading after John Phillips, and John Phillips said this. He said, the average young man goes to seminary today believing that Jesus is God and believing in the deity of Christ. But he said, depending on where you go, he said a whole lot of them are coming out 4 years later and don't know what to believe. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe the Apostle Paul wanted to make sure that Timothy had this nailed down. Watch this with me. 1 Timothy 3:16. The Bible said, and without controversy. Now listen, Paul is telling Timothy, son, I ain't going to argue with you about it. And you're wasting your time to argue with anybody else about it. It's nailed down. Watch what's nailed down. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now I want somebody to ask me, I want somebody to answer me this. Who was manifest in the flesh? Who? Jesus or God. You're saying the same thing. The Bible said here God was manifest in the flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. Who was justified in the Spirit? Who was seen of angels? Who's preached unto the Gentiles? Who do we believe on in the world? Who wasn't received up into glory? It was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul chose to use that little three-letter word, God. He is Lord. He is God. I had a note somewhere tonight, and I've misplaced it. I was going to share with you something. Let's just look there real quickly. I think it's the book of Zechariah, and I might be wrong tonight. Let me see if I can find it here. I didn't mark it in my Bible, but I think it's Zechariah. Let me see if I can find what chapter it is. Can you find Zechariah? Okay. Okay, let me run through this with you real quickly, okay? Is everybody all right? Let's look at this. Look at verse 1, Zechariah chapter 12. How many's got it? I want you to be looking at this. Zechariah chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. That's one of those minor prophet books. That's one of those sometimes that eludes me. But it's right before Malachi. Malachi would be the last book in the Old Testament. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. Somebody tell me who's talking in verse number 1. This is important. Who's talking? The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. Who is talking in verse number 1? The Lord. Okay, you got capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah when it's laid out like that in our Bible, okay? Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling in verse 2. Who's talking? Okay. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone in verse number 3. Who's talking? In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every house with astonishment in verse number 4. Who's talking? Okay. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, verse number 5, in that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood. In verse 6, who's talking? That's right. In verse number 7, the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first and the glory of the house of David. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In verse number 8, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Who's talking? Okay, that was verse number 9. Did I say 7? I meant to say 9. Okay, now look in verse number 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Who's talking? And they shall look upon me. Who's talking? Whom they have pierced. Who was pierced? Tell me his name. That's exactly right. Jesus is just as much God as God is God. And just as much God as the Holy Spirit is God. Praise his name. Watch this tonight and I'm done. Jesus is not only good man, not only the God man, but Jesus is a gracious man. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The soldiers scourged him. They beat him in the face. I've been watching some of the college World Series. You've been watching any of it, Chance? That's a dumb question, ain't it? Amen. It's pretty good. As a matter of fact, they're starting the last game. We all call church off and just go watch it. Amen. Amen. Pull it up on the big screen, Brother Richard. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Chance, here's what I thought about. A 95-mile-an-hour fastball, how that man, how fast that arm, that motion, put that whip in that man's hand, scourging Jesus. I'm going to ask you something. Who gave him that hand? Who gave him that arm? You're mighty right, the Creator. He was gracious, Brother Wayne. when they come to arrest him, Brother Wayne, he spoke to them and they fell backwards. You say, what do you mean, preacher? He was gracious. He was gracious not to put them in hell that very day. And you remember later on at Calvary, I don't know the scripture, the text exactly, but I believe it was one of the centurions, Brother Wayne, said, surely, this was the Son of God. Hallelujah. God was gracious. Jesus was a gracious man. Jesus, I see the grace here in verse number 11 with Pilate when he said, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee of my Father. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart tonight, it's possible that some of these priests, some of these Roman soldiers later got saved. But I know this tonight, if they didn't, they'll not be able to stand, Brother Gary, one day after a while and say they didn't have an opportunity. Because this was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Yes, there was people mocking, spitting, plucking his beard, pulling a crown of thorns down into his head, scourging him, beating him. But there was also a man hanging beside of him that changed his mind. At one point in the crucifixion, if you study it, both thieves are railing on him and they're saying the same thing. If you're the Christ, come down and get us down. But one of them changed his mind right after Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He looked over, Brother Gary, in one word. He said, Pastor, I agree with you tonight. In one word, he said, Lord, remember me. What he was saying, Brother Isaac, is they might not believe you're the Son of God, but I do. And Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. You glad you come tonight? I hope you mark down some of them scriptures and somebody says, Jesus is a good man. Say, oh yeah, you're right about that. Ain't never been a gooder man than Jesus. But I tell you this, he's also the God man, and he's a gracious man tonight. Father, seal these truths to our hearts. Lord, it's the middle of summer in 2019. I'm glad you're still God. Lord, I pray that you'd visit the hearts of those that are unsaved and visit the homes, our Lord, tonight that are troubled. Lord, I pray you'd visit our nation. Lord, they're arguing over this and arguing over that. Lord, as I looked at the picture a while ago of that father with his little girl face down in the edge of that river because they didn't make it, help us, our Father. Help us in this country. You've been so good to us. Lord, it seems like we spit in your face. I pray, God, you'd help us. Lord, we pray tonight now that you'll have your way in our hearts and in our lives. Make us a light, Lord, in this dark world this week. And God, will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.